You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I have new orders that require me to go dark for at least a year, maybe more. A special assignment in an undisclosed location.
As an elite sniper, are you presently under any private or military contract?
No. There's not a lot of reasons for me right now.
What if I gave you a reason?
There she is. West Tower Observation Post. Your home for the next 365 days. There is no outside communication here.
What's that on the other side?
That is East Tower. Contact with the other side is strictly forbidden.
So what's the mission? To keep people from going in the gorge?
No. You need to stop what's in the gorge from coming out.
What the hell is that?
The gorge is the door to hell. And we're standing guard at the gate.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and tonight I am joined by the wonderful, flirtatious left-hand side. Right-hand side, which is Jill, and the brooding and charismatic right-hand side, which is Peter, and Quinny, who's
none the gorge,
who's the gorge, who's the seething black hole underneath.
I'm the voice that
they're focused over, and me, your friendly narrator, of which there isn't really one.
Anyway, it's okay. I'm quite happy to be the gorge. I'm happy to be here, covered in mist, inscrutable, deep, meaningful, and filled with
full of demons, full of terrible demons.
Yes,
that's how we have to feel today. Right. How are you? It's almost February's almost over. I mean, can anyone believe how long these first 2 months of 2025 have been? Like, very long.
It's not been even forever.
Do you remember in the middle of the pandemic when we thought time was moving at a totally different speed? Well, this is the exact opposite of that. It's like everything's happening all at once.
What do you mean?
Don't like it.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't like it?
Well, you know, things are just different anyway. Hi, Pete. Hi, Jill. How are you, Jill?
I'm well.
I'm going to move Jill over because her name's gone and I didn't do that. Sorry. There we go. It's out now. We're fine. But people can read you. Earlier it was just ill. It's just ill.
Okay. What's been happening, Pete? Anything exciting?
Yeah, just the usual.
Oh, just great.
We had Emmys.
Work 20 hours, sleep for four. It's totally fine.
Do you want
definitely a good way to live your life?
Do you want to give us a quick roundup from the one that we reviewed last week, which was Captain America: World Police 4? What were your quick thoughts on it? Because you did see
film in which things kind of happened and then it finished.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great.
That's my roundup.
And that's your review.
That was my review.
Things happened, then it finished.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's what I said to Jill afterward. And also, didn't they cover all of that emotional ground in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Did you find how well it related to that 2011 film, The Incredible Hulk?
my memory of that film is so fuzzy.
It was actually funny because yesterday I was catching up with some family, and in that group there was an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old, and they were going to see Captain America on IMAX because it's exciting. Why not?
Waste of money.
But they were asking me like, oh, they haven't seen any of the other films because they were too young. And I'm like, great. And they didn't watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier because they're just a bit too young. I'm like, great. And like, can you just summarize the plot? And I'm like, I'm struggling here. And also the film that it's really based on that has a lot of the interesting things in it was before either of you were born. Oh, actually, one of you was wow. 1 year old. Like the Incredible Hulk came out, you were 1 year old. I can't explain this to like. Good luck. Take them if they like it. Great.
I also want to point out to you, I'm pretty sure that first Incredible Hulk film came out in 2008.
Yeah. Well, was it 8? I thought it was 11.
No, nope. Iron Man came out in 2008.
Same year. It came out the same year.
Really?
So I'm guessing you just looked this up with some sort of wizardry that we can't do.
The internet, but also shit that I knew because I remember going and seeing them both in the same year because it was the big bang of the start of the MCU because Incredible Hulk, there's Tony Stark and you've just literally seen him that same year in Iron Man.
You're right.
You can look it up if you want.
It's 2008. You're absolutely correct. But yes, both of these children had not been born and I didn't know how to explain that to them.
Yeah. The passage of time is a truly terrifying and awful thing.
But hopefully they were just like bombarded by IMAX and forgot about it completely.
No doubt. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
No.
Thanks for your review, Pete.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I mean, I kept my notes short.
Sure.
But you know, like I really appreciate that we picked a final Valentine's Day film for February.
Yeah. No, this was the whole point. I think when I saw that it was announced that it was coming out in on the February 14th, I went, perfect, wonderful. What a Valentine's Day treat this is. You know?
Yeah.
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 It's nice. Is it your typical Valentine's Day fare? Probably not.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I mean, in spirit, a fair bit of it actually is.
What are you talking about? This is just a wonderful love story, you know? Guy meets girl, girl sees guy. Yeah, yeah. Like they have their wonderful, like, how do they get together? And then,
love
you know,
at first sight, cheesy love story, amazing.
Something Eldritch tries to drag them apart. And they have to fight to be with each other. It's a Hallmark movie.
You're right. No, this is true. This is absolutely a Hallmark movie. It's just one of those kind of Hallmark movies that only comes out on video once. And then everybody goes, was that a real thing? Did that actually happen?
But look, you know, The Gorge, it came out February 14th. Thought, yeah, that's why not. You know, romantic movies during February, why not? We'll do all that sort of stuff. And then we watched it.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we saw that going, oh, okay. Sort of not really what it was marketed at because it was very heavily marketed as a bit of a romance story. Is that how it came across to you?
I mean, it was.
I didn't really look at the marketing, but from what I remember about the marketing, it was like a mystery kind of. I first trailers I saw were like,
right.
The marketing was based on the mystery of what's in the gorge, not the cheesy romance with. the rom com style plot, buried in. Genre.
I actually say that, like, we've just seen one of the trailers, but I actually would say that the marketing I thought actually pretty much nailed the tone of what the film was. You know, you've got two characters that are kind of at a distance and they're doing their fully in love things, even though they're weird and they're both extremely competent snipers and stuff, and then shit goes wrong and there's a gorge full of hell, literal hell. And that's pretty much what it is. I was like, that, okay. I got what I was expecting.
And you know what? For like 80 minutes, I was digging it.
Okay. That's honestly, that's better than a lot of films.
Yep.
But how did you feel about the remaining 80 minutes?
Well, I mean, for me, that kind of like genre mashup, I'm like, you know what? This is a genre mashup I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
This is an approach to two genres that I have never seen mushed together like this in my life. That's fun. And sometimes ridiculous things are fun. And I was like, maybe this is going to be one of those fun, ridiculous things. Like, from Dusk Till Dawn, which is like a heist kidnapping for a solid hour, and then suddenly a fucking vampire riot, which is amazing and like one of the greatest, you know, cult genre films really perhaps ever, if not of its time.
And one of the most sharp left turns of films ever taken.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I was like, you know what? Sometimes it's okay for things to be ridiculous, and I like genres and thinking about the different ways that they can be mushed together. So for 80 minutes, I was kind of having fun.
But then it went on.
Then it went on. I don't know. Have we synopsized this yet?
No.
No, we haven't.
I should synopsize before I, but why?
We haven't really... Yeah, we haven't really synopsized anything just yet. Should we go straight to that? That sounds like a good segue.
Let's do that.
Apologies.
Okay.
Mr. Music, I have some music. Yeah, that's right. Quinny has suggested this one for tonight. So here you go. Here's some music for you in the background.
I'm going to go shitty Russian.
Okay. Like...
Okay.
Oh, hang on. Wait, it's coming up. Not yet.
Oop, yep, okay, right, sorry. I'll wait until I'm told. Yeah. I'm ready. Can I go? Remember that tank top? Ah, there we go. Two highly trained operatives are appointed to posts in guard towers on opposite sides of a vast and highly classified gorge, protecting the world from a mysterious evil that lurks within. They work together to keep the secrets in the gorge and not out of the gorge. That's a shit synopsis.
That's really the synopsis. That is.
That's the official.
That can't be the official synopsis.
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't have let that. I wouldn't have let that go out as an official synopsis for anything in the gorge and not out of the gorge.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, admittedly, I added that last line because they work together to keep the secrets in the gorge. That is all.
Okay, I figured that.
Thank you, Quinny, for adding a bit of pulp into the back of that with your gorgeous. It's a love story. It's wonderful.
The remade by AI version is slightly better, but not much.
Oh, please don't. We don't need anything remade by AI.
No. We're not gonna do that. I was just
I mean, Captain America 4 was definitely written by ChatGPT, but...
Well... Oh, hang on. No, the official one on Apple TV actually goes for another fucking line.
Oh.
Okay, so is the music still going? Are we gorgeous still?
Yeah, we're still gorgeous. Why not?
Okay.
In the background.
So, back to where we were. They bond from a distance while trying to stay vigilant in defending against an unseen enemy. When the cataclysmic threat to humanity is revealed to them, they must work together in a test of both their physical and mental strength to keep the secret in the gorge before it is too late.
That See? Was one I mean, to Arnie territory.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I was giving it a red hot go. I'm sorry.
I feel like that addition to the synopsis actually perfectly encapsulates when and why I stopped having fun.
Oh, because that's when I started having more fun.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's an interesting one. This is what is Apple's second big release movie that's come out in the last kind of 12-month period. The first one being Wolves with George and Brad, which was, again, not great. But this one has actually been doing okay comparatively. You know, not bad streaming numbers because, you know, Apple doesn't really like to talk about streaming numbers unless they're okay. And yeah, it's an interesting conceit, but also slightly strange because I wasn't quite sure where I was sitting with this because it felt like by the end of it, I was like, this could be really a really good like MA15 plus slightly R movie. And by the end of it, I was like, is this a PG movie? This is all kind of like bloodless.
Would it help you to know that the guy that wrote this film also wrote The Tomorrow War?
Favorite
flick of ours.
Film that we hated a lot.
Oh, yes. My God.
Oh, the guy who wrote The Tomorrow War, so Fast bad. X and Fast X.
Yeah. This guy writes a lot of screenplays and apparently he writes a lot of very good ones, but they never get picked up except for the very bad ones, apparently.
Well, as you were saying, Leon, this one had that interesting thing of being, you know, very, very much on the blacklist for, like, you know, this was one of those screenplays that everybody was like, fuck yeah,
Is amazing. What's the blacklist for people who may not know what the blacklist is?
Peter, go on.
What's the blacklist?
The Hollywood blacklist.
The blacklist is a list of screenplays that get written and never get produced.
Well, not people read them.
Well, they do get bought, but then sometimes they just never get made either.
Yeah, they're mainly spec scripts that people. So people write a movie and put it out there, and sometimes you're right, Jill. They get picked up and shelved because they want people want to hold that. So it's like a hot property that until they can attach the right people to it, they do that. Yeah. So you know, to get on the blacklist is kind of cool, but also it's like, is your film getting made? It's like maybe not.
Yeah. You know? Well, but this guy that wrote this has a shit ton of movies on the blacklist. Not movies, screenplays,
to be accurate.
But
I remember, what was that, the Will Smith film that was where he was a superhero? Was it Hanson? No,
Hancock.
Yeah.
That was one of those ones that was on the blacklist for years. And that it was one of those things that nobody could work out what to do with it until you attach the right star. So they're extremely well-regarded screenplays that people just don't know what to do with in the long case.
I mean, I'm just having a look at it quickly going in the 2020 blacklist where this one came from, 17 of the 80 films that are on that list were made. On the 2021, 6 of the 73 films were made. On the 2022, 2 of 74 films were made. And in the in both 2023 and 2024, 0 of the films were made from that list. So it's kind
That's because everyone was doing fucking sequels in those years.
It's kind of a poison chalice a little bit.
It is, but I was talking with somebody who said this the other day, that in times of great unrest and so forth, which maybe we're living in, who knows, people tend to get a lot more protective of and looking for safety. So they'll stick with sequels, they'll stick with spin-offs, they'll stick with safe IP. And the thing with the blacklist is that these are all original concepts. Like there's no sequels in there or anything like that. Sometimes people will pull a script out of it and adapt it to be a new one, but essentially they're all originals. And therefore, we're seeing a time where the companies are just going, nah, we don't want to take a risk on that, which I'll give Apple credit for. Like they are very good at going, fuck it, we'll give it a go. Yeah. You know, I was looking at some of their films recently that they've put out and I've gone, yeah, right. There's some original concepts in there. Whether you liked Fly Me to the Moon or not, original story. Napoleon, well, maybe not. But Argyle.
I'm like, Napoleon?
I mean, you know, there are some good films that come out of the blacklist, but this is not that podcast about the blacklist. No, we could do another one about the blacklist in March. Yeah, just because everyone's thinking about what are we doing in March, because you should tell us. Think about that before the end and put it in the chat. But we're talking about The Gorge, which is a real film that got made starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Mr. Fantastic, I think.
the star of Fanforstic.
Star of Fanforstic. Who I've just forgotten. What's his name? I've forgotten it.
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller,
that's right. And somewhat Sigourney Weaver, and then that's it. It's a real interesting bottle kind of film where it's like, wow, this has just got no cast in it because it's only about two people, basically. You know,
Which, in the old days was how you made a cool genre film. You had a cool idea and a low budget, and part of having a low budget is having minimal cast.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case here because this is not a low budget film. No. But it kind of like almost feels to me like a really cool concept that got over Hollywooded. But like if it was a low budget indie film, could have ended up much cooler than it was. Because for me, it's like this kind of thing works for me really, really well if it's just about the coolness of the shit and the experience, and it doesn't have to be over explained or over plotted or over Hollywooded to death. You know, like and I'll keep calling back to From Dusk Till Dawn because that is what I was kind of thinking of, like in the first bit of it. And I was thinking, this is ridiculous. But if we didn't just let things be ridiculous sometimes, we wouldn't have all of these amazing genre films that we have. And I was like, maybe it's like that. And then like it at one point, it just goes like, and now we are going to exposition the fuck out of this. We are going to exposition this puppy to death. Did you have questions? You know what? I didn't have questions. I didn't really care about the questions. I was just having fun. Now I have fucking questions. Now I can't stop thinking about the questions because you try to explain unexplainable shit. And now I'm not having fun anymore.
Yeah, the concept that you presented at the start, which is in the fucking synopsis, which is the gorge is a gateway to hell, you know, okay, cool, fine. I'm totally down with it. Gateway to hell, no problems. That's all you really need to explain.
You know, I'm not even going to ask why they're shit in the gorge. I don't care why they're shit in the gorge. You've presented with me two characters who are doing a thing and you've, like, with cool-looking against cool-looking guys and they're doing cool shit. That was enough for me with this. The second it tried to be more, like, you know, I can't but why anything if you don't try to explain it to me.
Yeah.
The second you try to explain the ridiculous shit, like, I was out. I actually ended up stopping it and forgot to watch the rest of it till today because I suddenly became incredibly bored. Incredibly bored and uninvested in the entire thing.
I was really enjoying the mystery that was being set up at the start of the film. Yeah. And for me, the slow pacing was actually like the most interesting part. And I was kind of riveted and was watching. I heard that it was slow to begin with. And I thought, oh, great, here we go. But that was actually the part that I enjoyed the most. Then when you get like a visual on the creatures, that was where I got lost. I'm like, oh, okay. This is giving Last of Us vibes.
Yeah,
Pirates, Last of Us, Resident Evil. I'm like, just name anything that's adjacent to this genre, and it kind of was giving that.
Insert science fiction, or fantasy, CGI,
fantasy, zombie, supernatural, whatever. Like, yeah,
fully agree.
Yeah,
You start seeing shit, but I was willing to still go with it at that stage. I was like, I'm disappointed that the mystery has been torn away as to the what of
the
gorge.
But like once you actually get into the gorge and we start seeing what's going on down there, I'm like, I'm completely out of this now. I'm too confused. I don't know what this wants to be. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good conceit. Like, I like the conceit of the thing because it was like two people kind of falling in love in this dangerous situation, which is a bit mysterious. And that was enough for me. I agree.
Yeah.
I was there. And then they added the drama of the fact that someone falls in to that. And I'm like, I'm also there because to me, from the original trailer thing, it was like, oh, they're guarding a passageway to hell and one falls in accidentally and someone jumps in. It's fucking in the trailer after them. And they like literally they like go to hell to rescue each other. And I'm like, I'm down for that. That's completely fine.
Yeah. I was still down at that stage. Yeah. I was like, yep, okay. This is fun. This is ridiculous. And we can have a ridiculous time.
Yeah. And then it tried to be creepy and it wasn't. And I felt so annoyed because I've seen a really good movie about that kind of creepy.
I think I know where you're going to go with this.
Weird shit called Annihilation.
Yes. 100%.
One, and which did it with way more style and dread and panache and creepy terrifyingness. And in this one, they try to go, look, these things are terrifying. And I'm like, they really are not. Because you've kind of just made, like, and they tried to get a little bit horror with it, but it was just too much CGI, like, shitty CGI.
Little side disclaimer, if you haven't watched Annihilation yet, do it because it's leaving Netflix very soon.
Oh shit. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. And
I feel like I kind of hated Annihilation, but maybe I wasn't paying enough attention.
What do you mean you hated Annihilation? Why did you hate the bear that was desiccated but yelled out with a human voice? Come on. Like, that thing was the creepiest thing that I've ever seen. Like,
that's the thing. Like, this shit is more fun when it is practical effects and makeup as well. Like, and I know that that is like very like, you know, old man yells at clouds of me. But yeah, seeing monsters, and again, it's not, you know, it's all like in the trailer, like seeing things that are like, oh yeah, like they're the Last of Us zombies, or the, you know, mixed with the Pirates of the
Caribbean
shit.
Yeah.
And weird ants.
I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. But then you really, really, really don't need to explain it to me.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I get the conceit. I can imagine many reasons that these creatures may be these creatures, and I would rather like not be explained.
Yeah, I love that there was a full fucking
part of the experience.
Video walkthrough on like how it all happened. Just waiting.
Oh my God. And that was the moment I was like, no, I can't. I'm not, I tried. To stay in the car with this film. I really tried to stay in the car because I was like, it could be fun. And that was the moment that I was like, no. Nope.
You mean you weren't even still fully having out. Fun at the very end in the ridiculous scenario that they can get to figure out how they get out of the gorge? Which
I'd almost forgotten that bit. Where was your jump off point?
As soon as creatures on horseback creatures were. Like chasing them, I'm like, how are these things just isolated to this, and how are they not all dead yet? Why are there still more things like somehow coming alive out of it, and why can't they just go out of the ends of the gorge?
But why?
And the thing is, if it's hell, if it's a gate to hell, then,
which it isn't, because the lady in the video tells you that it's not.
Sorry, spoilers, everybody.
We're wasting our time with this film.
If it's a gate to hell, there's a point where it stops. I'll believe that, because magic, because supernatural, because hell, whatever.
Sure.
Like, you know, you could have like a wall of fucking crosses at the end of the thing, and I'm like, okay, cool, no problems. But this makes that fucking mistake of, as you say, Pete, trying to over-explain, and then suddenly all of the possible creepy, all of the possible, like, eeriness is kind of gone, because you just go, okay, well, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
That's where the fun evaporates.
Yeah, I was totally on board with the idea, and I love the idea of, you know, they're above this gorge, and occasionally terrifying things will try and climb out, and you have to keep them in.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's creepy. It's got a bit of Lovecraft. It's got some old ones. It's got, you know, a bit of that stuff going on. But, yeah, the moment that it suddenly becomes, as you said, Jill, the moment I saw a dude on horseback.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck, I know exactly what this is. I don't care anymore. Which was so disappointing, because, like you were saying, Dion, I thought the Annihilation vibe would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You go into this place, and have you seen Event Horizon?
Me or everyone?
Anyone.
Yeah, Traumatized Me.
If I've seen that one or the other one that's exactly the same.
If this is something that, like Dion just mentioned, Traumatized, when you say the words Event Horizon, I like get a trauma ping in my body.
Ooh, a core memory has formed.
I feel like I've seen it and deleted it.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yep.
Like that has that same kind of thing where there's implied supernatural horror stuff that does such a good job of making shit really creepy and horrifying by not showing you stuff. And this film just keeps showing you stuff all the time.
We have to explain it.
Yeah, and like that kind of showing you stuff and like the military adjacent thing was like, oh, this is just Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was...
And then it gets to a plot bit where you kind of think, okay, so like, and now the rest of the movie is them being going to like, you know, survive and get out of this situation. And then it just tries to do even more than that. And it's just like, ah. And then it ends and it's just like, I won't spoil it, but I'm like, ah.
I mean, but this sort of sounds like it's an absolutely abysmal film. And I want to say, in defense of The Gorge, I had a really good time with the two leads just trying to get to know each other while terrible things try to crawl out of it that keep blowing up, which seems really fucking simple. Like, those things were getting too far out, and I'm like, is this...
And you know what? 100%. We never would have found out what the gorge was about if a dick, if a guy wasn't trying to get his dick wet. Like, this was the whole premise of the movie.
Sure.
But I... if we were reviewing the film based on the first hour, my review would be very different.
But I respected the chutzpah of, figuring out. It's like, I'm going to go over to bang. Because it kind of made sense in the timeline of it too, because... You know, you got to realize that they'd been there for almost, alone for months. It was definitely over 6 months, and they're talking to each other every day. And I was just kind of like, I can 100% get the idea of like, you know what, I'm going to come over. You know, fine. I got nothing else to do. You know, we stop things that come out. We've done these kind of things, and might as well. You know, I got it. It made sense. And then as soon as it detracted and went away from that whole reasoning, I was like, I don't care anymore. You know,
Sorry, Tari asked the question, is there a good point in the film where you could just stop it and it ends there? I mean,
yes.
When they fall in.
When he's leaving, just turn off the movie.
Yeah. I would be happy to see this as when he falls in because of reasons. And then she jumps in to save him and starts, like, you know, parachuting in as well. I am
roll
like,
credits.
Hey, yeah, roll credits and be like,
it's the end of their love story.
Yeah,
amazing. And,
I would do it just before that so that you can just continue we just go back and forth.
I'd even let him just go The Gorge 2 coming next summer. I'd be like, great, fine. You know, that could easily have been done. You know,
I mean, they could very easily.
There was a point in the process of watching the film that, you know, I did think that it would kind of culminate in a situation where they would have to like save each other. But I thought that it would be saving each other from their organizations, rather than, you know, how it turned out.
Sigourney wasn't really giving, you know, scary vibes.
No.
I would have recast Sigourney. She was being too charismatic.
I mean, it was very strange also where they put her, like where they situated this. And it's kind of one of those things where unless you've kind of been there or you know about it, you don't really understand it. And she was based in a place called Baku in Azerbaijan. Okay.
Right.
Not really high on a lot of people's visit, like places to go and visit. I happen to have been there. As soon as I saw the frame of Sigourney sitting there and these very distinctive three kind of flame-like towers out the back, I'm like, holy shit, they've put her in Azerbaijan. That's an interesting kind of connection. But did they mention it? No. I just expected you to understand what that was.
You have to have been to Azerbaijan to get that. Okay.
Yeah, actually, it's really strange.
I'm just thinking, we do have a clip of... Oh. Hang on.
No, you did not give me that clip, Quinny. You gave me the audio only for that clip and not the actual video. So unless you want to listen to the audio, well, we mime out the scene.
I mean, that could be an entirely new podcast.
Yeah, the Period Table also mimed. Great podcast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the performances from Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Like, me too.
I enjoyed that kind of first hour of rom-com meet cute meets creepy mystery with explosions.
I thought Anya kicked more ass in this than Furiosa.
God, yeah.
To be honest.
You know, and I enjoyed the writing up until that point too. Like, it's like it just feels to me like a good idea that has landed on the desk of some producer who's gone, oh, yes, but this would be much better if we knew exactly why and we explained everything and the audience needs to know, you know?
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was actually explained in the full script and it goes through that whole sort of thing and what they, you know, maybe it was actually fully written out and it's just that you didn't need to do that. You know, sometimes an elevator pitch can really work. Sometimes you just go, hey, this is this idea. We got, like, you know, two people, they fall in love across a gorge, it's maybe full of demons. End of story. Oh, bye, Pete. She's gone.
She's gone.
She's just gone. It's just now Jill and Dion and Quinny bisected in half. We're going to wait until Pete comes back. See, maybe she'll go back that way. In the interim, maybe she'll come back. We'll go and watch a clip and then come back and do ratings and stuff. How's that sound?
Sure. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Let's do that. Great.
Good evening, Jossa. Even though I'm not supposed to be here.
Good evening, Levi. And we're cloaked. So who's watching? I made rabbit pie. Do you like rabbit pie?
I intend to.
What's that you're growing?
I brought you flowers.
Of course you did. Thank you. You're staring.
Sorry. It's,
Yes?
There's a lot more green in your eyes than I was expecting.
We're back. Okay. Calm down, everyone. We're back.
Okay.
Okay.
Pete fell in the gorge.
She did. She fell in the gorge.
She fell in. We had to go after her.
And we got her out, and all it cost us was extended plot information we didn't need. What we're going to do now is explain to you exactly what happened to Peter.
In fact, we're going to have a well put together video. A, you know, but also then we're going to explain what happened in the multiple years in between as well. And there's going to be some spiders.
Sure. And they're going to have skulls because that's fun. Yes. Spoiler logo. Should we put it up? Yeah, I might as well. Sorry. There we go. Spoiler.
But also ratings. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's what we're going
to
do.
I can't be bothered to rate this one.
No. Unrateable. Yes, Predaconga, there were skull chillers in this.
Yeah. Honestly, I did look at them and just went, they're the spiders from Legend of Zelda.
Probably. It feels very much like they got some of those, models from other things, and they're like, I'll just chuck them in there. It's fine. Just add a filter over it. You know, I was really disappointed it wasn't fucking hell.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to be hell.
It's like Doom. You remember Doom, the movie with Rock and fucking Carl Urban in it?
Yeah.
Like, another one of those things where in the video game, it's hell. Like, they go to hell and there are demons and it's scary as fuck and it's creepy as shit.
Sure.
And this one, it's like, why are we not going to hell?
Just go to hell.
But how supernatural it went to real world. And so I just couldn't buy any of it. I was so confused.
To answer Missy's question in there, is just like, are the monsters the focus of the side story? No, not really. See, the monsters are in the film. They're there to give us a thing in there, but no one explains who they are. There's barely anyone to follow. They're just cannon fodder. But the whole thing is about the reason the monsters exist. And that reason is just kind of something you could easily say, and they exist because of this. End of story. You don't have to think too much hard about it, but they go into great lengths to explain it all.
And the monsters getting around on a horseback and everything, it is explained, but also that makes them kind of lame.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. You know what is a movie that I think does the whole hell creepiness vibe really well? The Mist.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking The Mist before in terms of like, what is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just got horrific shit in it that will fuck you up. And you can't see what it is. It's probably going to grab you and rip your fucking head off. It's just eldritch horror. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Once we found out the secret of what's in the fucking gorge, did anyone else get really frustrated and annoyed by the fact that they just seem to have an everlasting, inexhaustible supply of people to try and crawl out? Where, you know, if you've been doing this for the decades and decades...
Yeah.
Mm.
This is the thing.
When they got down there, one or two things fucking attacked them.
Yeah. I did not ask any but whys until they tried to explain shit to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I could not stop.
Yeah. It's dumb.
3 million of them.
You don't give me any information, I can't ask questions.
I mean, if you're killing them, then are they reanimating or are they dead? And so does that mean there's like an infinite amount of these things down there?
Do they regenerate? That would have been an interesting thing. Like, you keep killing them, but they keep regenerating, which would have fitted into the other side story of, you know, why is there a creepy company studying them? But no, there was no explanation. And also, at each end of the gorge, what the fuck's there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
aren't they just running out the sides?
Yeah. I mean, just go out the sides. Just, you know, it's like the when the ship is falling in Prometheus. It's like just run to the left.
Run to the side.
Yeah. I mean, this movie wasn't called The Hole. It was called The Gorge.
It's called The Gorge.
The gorge has an opening at either side.
I will also point out something else that was said at one point that now I think about it is extraordinarily dumb.
Yeah.
They were following the river through.
Yeah, there's a fucking river.
Where the fuck does the river go?
Yeah, and why if this isn't it just a contagion? Filled with creatures? Yeah,
yeah, the river is taking the contagion through. And you know, just before I get fully into my rating of it too, the thing that also shat me immediately was they knew exactly, pinpoint knew where to go to find the cable that existed on the wall. Of that thing that came out, like they knew exactly where it was. They just drove straight to it. Like, and I love the fact that they didn't just like, they didn't search around for it. They literally drove straight to it and went, that's what it is.
Oh, there's the cable.
Yeah, there's the cable.
Yeah, also a car that's 80 years old could still
fueled up, ready to go, able to start. Like,
yeah, but don't you know
they showed them with a battery. That was a lot.
Didn't you know that propane is shelf stable, so that's why the generator was still running.
It's super easy, barely inconvenient.
But what about lighting up the propane that is connected to the thing that is?
Hang on, we're in spoiler territory here. We should rate this, and then we can come back and destroy.
We're gonna do that.
Thank God, Windows Vista was still running on that computer though.
Okay, Pete. Drop me some numbers.
I don't know how low to rate it because, like, you know, more than half of the film I was on board for.
Exactly. Take points off.
Then I got real mad when the things that were keeping me on board evaporated and turned into something completely different. And then the end was just so frustrating that I'm going to have to, I think, go below 60, which, you know, is for things that really maybe, I think I'm going to have to say 55.
55?
Which is so mean to something that for 80 minutes I was like, yeah, this is fun.
This is a fun romance.
This is why numerical ratings are really hard. Because
they're really hard.
Sure.
Like, how do you rate two halves of the film, you know, when it is a film that,
I'm mad about the wasted opportunity to make something cool because I don't know why.
Yeah, well, we've been doing this show for 300 and what episodes now? We can't change the rating system.
No. Yes. Maybe that's what we do for 400. We just say, fuck it.
We just go to stars. Yeah.
But it is very fickle. It is very fickle.
Sure. That's all right. You can have that. That's fine. It's good. Who wants to go next?
I will.
Go, Jill.
I'm giving it 45.
45. Ooh, amazing.
45.
Because the first half, I was enjoying the mystery. And then the rest of it, I was just like, nah, bored. Looked at my phone for the rest of the movie. I hated it more than Captain America. And I gave that 50. So, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right, fair enough.
100%. I'm with it.
Okay, I'm going to go 60, which is being very generous. But like you, Pete, there was like an hour of, you know, 70 minutes or something of quite enjoyable film, and there was this possibility of something really cool. And there are even moments down in the gorge that I was like, oh, that's a bit visually cool, and there's some ideas in there. But, yeah, I'm taking off solidly 40 points because they explained too much and it just was boring. And overstated, welcome, something fierce. It did plot itself to death, yeah.
Because again, like if at that stage it was just kind of like, okay, and the rest of the film very much like From Dusk Till Dawn is we escape this crazy situation, then even with the explaining, I would have been like, the explaining kind of killed it, but watching the film was fine.
Yeah.
It's the extra shit.
I mean, hey, From Dusk Till Dawn happened and it was great. And then the mood, like, you know, the last scene is when the camera pulls back and you see that it was actually in the top of an old pyramid, like Incan pyramid.
Which is the only hint of any kind of explanation that you get the entire film anything.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't
kind of like just stop the plot and this is why vampires right now.
Yes. And also I like seeing, you know, there's heaps of like semi-trailers just been pushed off the side and that's where, you know, it's kind of a graveyard. It's like, oh, amazing. You know, you don't understand
visual storytelling. Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't explain it. This one
Moment like that at the end of this, a little moment of like, anyway, it's not spoilers, sorry.
No, not quite spoilers yet. I mean,
go D.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving it a flat 50, mainly because, you know, look, I was with it. I was okay with that. And as soon as it got into the gorge, I was like, oh, this will be, oh, this is terrible. This is actually actively boring me. And I'm not in peril. Like, I don't feel any peril for either of these leads. I don't care. And also I get quite angry that they missed that entire thing because they set up this story about two people falling in love across a gorge. And then, you know, as we've explained, they bang, all right? And then one of them falls in. And this is a perfect opportunity to keep that hell narrative, which is you must not have sex or demons will get you. And they could have just folded onto that kind of thing, which is the main problem for these two people that fell in love was they had unmarried, like they weren't married and they had sex. And that's when they went into the hell place and it could have just been about hell, you know. But no, they just decided to make it about corporate greed and company stuff, which, you know, sure, I'm all for that. But they just explained it badly. And the CGI was actually really annoying. Like some great ideas in there, like to try to make things creepy.
Mm.
But it was a bit too much and too silly and, you know.
Yeah.
Or it felt like these guys were just, you know, the penultimate scene where they're getting out of the gorge on a car winch and they're having a fight scene on that car just felt like they were just waving their arms around. And then people are like, oh, we'll just CGI it in later. Like, just throw something at this. Maybe that'll happen.
And just a reminder, the director is Scott Derrickson, who did the Doctor Strange movies. So he's capable of really...
The first one.
Oh, I didn't. That's right. It was Raimi who did the second one, sorry.
But even Dormammu was good.
Of visual cool stuff. Like,
yeah. And he also did The Black Phone. I really like that movie.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen that one, but yeah. Yeah. Okay, spoilers. There's things that we need to talk about. I mean, you mentioned one that really did bug the shit out of me, Dion, the going up the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Like in order to get out of the gorge, they find an old Jeep, and like thankfully they explained that during when they found the old Jeep. They're like, oh, those winches are great. They can do so much. Then like those old winches on these old Jeeps can do amazing things because... as we find out at the bottom of the gorge, it isn't fucking hell. It is a World War II era military base that was, what do they say? Instead of doing the Manhattan Project where they did fucking nuclear bombs, they did chemical weapons in this, the other Manhattan kind of project.
But the fact that they felt the need to...
And they name check Oppenheimer.
it was just like, wham, have some fucking exposition. Wham, have some more. Yeah. Oh.
God. I mean, that in itself, I think, is actually an interesting conceit, which is like, oh, imagine if they were doing the Manhattan Project and then they were doing another one, which is about chemical weapons. That's actually an interesting story. But the gorge existed as a narrative. You didn't need to match them together. You didn't need to have the love story across a gorge and that. You could have made two separate movies.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes.
Yeah, it felt weird.
Also, the timeline didn't match up for any of the
No.
as opposed to what was in the gorge, a hard no.
What World War II battalion sent horses in?
Yeah, but also the accident the happened brigade. After the war, so why were there light brigade battalions in
light
there?
Light brigade was the first
World War. Was the first World War. So I was kind of like, well, why are there like You're talking about an accident that happened well beyond the Second World War, and yet somehow that there are battalions in there from the First World War? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But why?
But also there's still computers down there from the early 2000s where apparently people did go down there and, you know, set up computer equipment. But did they get back out?
Yeah, the evil corporation.
You know. Yeah.
Also, what was that creature going to do with Anya when she was tied up?
I don't know. It was just an excuse to poke her with something, I think.
I remember that one is like, oh, they look emaciated. They must be hungry was a fucking throwaway line by Miles Teller in the thing there. And I kind of went, oh, maybe they're just cannibals. I don't know. Did they explain that? No. Because some were cannibals and some had grown into trees.
And there were parts that I was like, oh, there are creepy monsters. And like when the ground started eating somebody, I'm like, oh, that's fucking creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then there's a whole floating sequence of weird glowing screaming things, tendril shit. And I'm like,
then there's this must be the epicenter of the entire contagion that we're trying to avoid getting. Yeah. Let's walk straight through the middle of it. But why?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of cohesion with like the monsters, to be honest.
Did you almost find it weird that it felt like Miles Teller actually had to go through that to get to where Anya Taylor-Joy was to rescue her and then come out that same way? Having already gone through it would already just be like, hey, don't touch anything because it'll fuck you up. Like, but also this thing of how did that monster get through, like carry her through that on his horse? Like,
just go around the way you came and don't go through the epicenter of it.
And also, how did no one get infected?
This is my issue. Any genre director worth their salt, like there would have been, I even like fast forwarded to the credits to see if there was a post credit.
There would have been a
moment at the end where it's like, and they're tree people now. Like,
And
they kept repeating that, oh, but if we don't have any symptoms after 6 days, we're fine. I'm like, okay, you've said that five times now. and then you don't even see the six-day process.
No.
We're just not going to talk about that anymore. We're just going to assume that, like,
And the thing is, like, in the best, you know, genre horrors and stuff like that, you get that last, you know, stinger shot of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that, where it's Donald Sutherland screaming and you're like, fuck, that's horrific. That's great. You know, if Miles Teller shows back up again at the thing and then, you know, trees start coming out of his mouth or something like that, cool. You know, great horror little stinger, whatever. But fuck.
Maybe tie it up with the love story thing and they just end up being three people together. That's also fine. Like,
beautiful.
But like, do something. Jesus Christ.
Also, sorry.
All of that plot for nothing?
Just remember the main conceit of this, that these two people are both contract assassins who do dodgy shit for governments, basically, and both have PTSD and terrible lives. So it kind of makes sense that they could both die in the gorge because they loved each other. That's okay. But also they're not good people. Like at the end of this, it was just like, oh, we've finally run into each other in a tiny, what is it, French cafe or something somewhere where they decided to go and live. Like, you know, the happy ending. And I'm like, you guys are murderers.
Thank you for giving me the end to a completely different film.
Yeah.
Where's the end to the film I was watching?
It was the end of Dark Knight Returns.
It really was.
Yeah.
100%.
Except neither of them are billionaires and they still have a probably evil corporation still trying to hunt them down because, you know,
the evil corporation was only Sigourney Weaver. Just and that's Sigourney done Weaver. Now.
She's dead now. Again, so the corporation's gone.
Again, that was again one of the things that fucking irritated me was that as Sigourney Weaver goes, oh no, they've found too much out. We have to go and stop them. I will go with the strike team because it's my fault. She would not do that. She spent the entire film particularly not going anywhere near them.
Yeah.
And then she decides, I'll go.
But it's the only way to be sure.
Yeah, stupid.
It's just kind of like,
why didn't you nuke the site from the beginning to kill all the stuff in the gorge? Like,
because we need it for like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they had their stupid experiment.
Though there's another plot thread that could have been pulled on that could have been interesting. Instead of having fucking, you know, them having to escape from all of the tree people as they're climbing up the side of the fucking gorge in their stupid car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a couple of super soldiers in after them.
Oh, there goes Pete again.
Peter's gone again.
She's out. She's just like, ah, oh, this is just, this is just.
But, you know, if we're setting up the concept that these things are super, like, is about building super soldiers, put some terrifying fucking plant-based super soldiers in there. Vegan super soldiers.
Oh.
Vegan powers.
Yeah.
They're the vegan police.
Yeah. You know, do something, but, yeah, it doesn't work. And also, for some reason, Dion, I've lost your rating. What did you? What
50. Did you get? A flat 50, right. Because I actually had a really good time. Like, you know, up for the first 80 minutes of it, where we're going to do stuff. You know, I could have easily made it 70 or 80. I was really enjoying the characters. So I was happy to go with it. And then the rest of it was just like, oh, this is dragging it all down. This is just boring the fuck out of me now. I don't care about these people. Yay, yep. There's Peter.
Yay.
Yep. She was so angry.
2 hours and 7 minutes of film.
Yeah, 2 hours and 7 minutes of film.
She's coming back any second.
Yeah, there she is. Smashing it out. We understand the anger of it made you rage quit.
Computer times.
Completely. Yeah, fun times.
No, normally I'm loving it because normally this shit's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or me. What are you talking about? Sometimes the whole stream just drops and I'm like, ah. The worst that happens here is Quinny just gets slightly bifurcated for a little bit.
Anyway, we managed to talk about this shit fucking film for an hour.
We did. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be 10 minutes. I thought it'd be like a 20 minute. But no.
No, but apparently we had a lot to say.
Yeah, well, that's good.
What else have people been watching? What have you been doing?
I've got like a backlog of shit that I want to get stuck into, but I've been fucking busy, so... Yeah. Easy. I got the second half of the final season of Cobra Kai I want to get started on.
I want to catch up on that.
Dropped new season of Reacher. New season of White Lotus.
I've watched three episodes of Reach Around. And it's much the same. It's just, you know what you're getting on the box. It's just it's excellent. Just fast food.
That's all I want.
and I'll say it right now, I'm bored as fuck with this White Lotus. Boring the shit out of me. Because I'm a Jennifer Coolidge stan.
I haven't even started White Lotus yet.
Like, as a Jennifer Coolidge stan, I'm just absolutely horrified that they killed her off in the second one. And I'm like, no, she was the best thing about it. Yes, they did. She died.
Did she?
Yeah. Like, I was really happy to go to White Lotus as a series and just say, it's just Jennifer Coolidge going to different luxury hotels around the world and weird shit happening. But in the second one, they killed her off. They killed her off on the boat. She fell over, hit her head, and then she died.
Last season that died.
Yeah. And now I'm upset about the whole thing.
Oh, Jill's very confused about the last season. Did you watch season two?
Yes, I did. But I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. What else is happening? I haven't watched anything else. I'm going off to see something tomorrow, and I can't remember.
I'm watching the new season of The Recruit in the background of things. It's a good thing in the background of things. It's actually more compelling than I thought it was going to be.
I finished watching that season last night.
I just, like, it's ridiculous. It knows it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's having its ridiculous times. Yeah. And I'm kind of, like, digging that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has some bits towards the end that I was like, fucking hell, righto. Like, it sort of goes almost beyond the pale ridiculous. I was like, okay. What I am fascinated by, though, is clearly Netflix has done a pretty good deal with Korea, because a lot of that is shot on location in Korea. And I'm wondering whether or not it was a bigger deal that for the whole Squid Game thing, that they would also do more local production in Korea at the same time. Because
there's a K-drama on Netflix.
This is true. I haven't really explored as much as I should, but it's nice to see a show like this that in the hands of another network probably would have just shot it all in Vancouver and hung up some Korean signs. Oh, what... I also wanted to talk briefly, I think we mentioned it briefly last week, but if you're fascinated by horrific things, watch Apple Cider Vinegar.
Ah, yes.
I did
finish that, yeah.
I finally got to that too.
Finished watching it and was like, there's a horror in watching somebody just be so terrible.
Look, I firsthand know somebody that does this, not to the extent of Belle, but close enough, where they've started GoFundMes to fund their own lives. But
I know this person.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. And, you know, continuously make up stories about health issues and, like, extended family that just seems to be infinite. But for me, Apple Cider Vinegar, like, I didn't enjoy the made-up storylines. I thought it kind of devalued the essence of the story that was being told that was based off truth. So I don't know. I feel like it just kind of undermined the Belle story to have like peripheral characters based on real life characters, but with made up stories. So for me, it was a bit hit and miss, the show.
Yeah.
I thought, like,
you got it.
I mean, we could still review it in March once we get everyone there, if you want to go to that stage, because we don't have March yet. Remember, everyone, tell us if there's something that we should be watching in March.
We're out of ideas.
We're all out of ideas. We don't know what to do. But I kind of quite enjoyed Apple Cider Vinegar because I feel like it is a good way to get people to watch something and think about subjects that they may or may not be too, like, thinking too deeply about after a while. But I'm curious to find out what is real and what isn't, and but I still enjoyed the series. I thought it was an interesting take on it. Also, flawless fucking Australian accent by what was her name, Catherine Deave? No, the American actor. Yeah,
no, Diva, whatever.
Yeah,
We'll be seeing a little bit later this year in The Last of Us.
Last of Us too. She's Abby in that, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. But I got to say, Americans doing Australian accents is usually fraught with peril. Hers was fucking flawless. I was like, yes, you are Australian.
Didn't know she was not Australian.
Exactly.
Until,
right?
I saw an interview with her and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing her, the first time I saw her was in Justified, that television show with Timothy Olyphant, and she was doing like a Appalachian hillbilly accent. And I was like, that was pretty good. And then I see her in this one and I was like, oh, shit, I believe you.
Yeah. She was also in that No One Will Save You film that we watched a couple of years back. The alien one where she didn't speak for basically the whole film. It was a good, creepy little film, like the alien invasion thing.
Yeah.
She's good. I really like it.
Yeah. What else is coming out? Just trying to remember. Oh, The Monkey's out, but I haven't seen The Monkey yet.
I
want to go see The Monkey.
I kind of want to see Love Hurts, but I don't think I'm going to get time to go to a cinema. Next week we're going to watch Nikki 17.
Yes. The first podcast, thank you, Jill. The first podcast of March is on Wednesday. So tell us what, because there's Nikki 17 screening on that. Don't think we're going to do Mickey 17 on the Wednesday because we need to hold that till just after, for the week after. So we don't know what we're doing on that. But, let us know what we can do. And we've also got show number 400 coming up in March. Don't know what we're going to do for that one.
We would love your suggestions. And if you say clip show Creon, Dion, we'll fucking explode.
Yeah, very specific.
Creon will die.
Clip show. The Eclipse show. Yes, we know Andor's coming out. The trailer for season 2 of Andor dropped today. So, you know.
Yeah, can't wait.
Looks fucking boss.
Woke up at 6 o'clock this morning for whatever reason. And I was like, opened up my phone and saw Andor trailer. And unfortunately, my initial response to all trailers these days is, oh, it's probably some AI bullshit. oh no, it's from the actual Star Wars account.
Yes.
Suddenly
I
awake.
I did see an AI bullshit trailer for Groundhog Day 2. And I'm like, when will these people stop?
Because they just want click farms. And once they get it, once they get enough people following them,
but those are the trailers that my mother watches, and she's like, "Jill, look, they're making this movie." I'm like, "Fuck."
They're really not.
Maybe there's a sweet spot of like, you're too young to have a phone, and then you get to a certain age, and they start saying you're too old to have a phone, and there's just a little bit in the middle. You're like, "Oh no."
Yeah.
Unless you do your training.
I know what we can do next week. We can review Elimination Chamber that's on this Sunday.
Is that a film? Is it
it's a film by WWE.
Considering the one of the people in charge of the WWE is now running the Department of Education in the US, I'm terrified.
McMahon is what's a
yeah yeah
the is the lady McMahon
yes
Stephanie McMahon
Stephanie, Stephanie McMahon she's education she's secretary
okay. She's okay.
Is she one of the okay ones?
Yeah, she's okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Because I know that there's some very not okay McMahons.
Yeah, well, that's the main one.
Yes. Vince. Kanga saying, we want to review the Mr. Beast games. No. Don't think he needs our help in getting any
don't
more fucking
think we're doing
things.
That. Yep. Cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love Hurts is out. Thanks. Yes. We could see that one. We don't know. But, yeah, let us know if you've got any suggestions. We're very happy. Smallville. Fuck. Okay, Casper. Yeah, we hear this. But just remember, we've got limited time. You know.
I'll do a fucking standalone podcast on Smallville, and I'll talk about it for hours.
Sure. Can you do something?
You're not going to enjoy it.
Can I work? Smallville, the podcast. You're not going to enjoy it. I mean, unless there's some sort of cheat sheet like in Deep Space Nine or something, or even Star Trek The Next Generation, where they're like, here are the episodes you, in each season you can skip, but it, here are the key ones.
I wrote that exact thing.
Oh.
And it is currently somewhere around on a website that doesn't exist anymore.
No, well, yes. You could resurrect
literally it. Leading up to season 10 of Smallville, I went through every other season and pulled out every single episode that was worth watching.
Right.
And then said, don't watch the rest.
Well, sorry. I mean, if you've got that, maybe we can review Smallville because I'm not committing to the whole thing. But
it's a bit like
to
committing to all
episodes.
The Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. If you haven't watched it as it's dropped, it is, and it's not, you know, a lockdown or something, and people are looking for giant binges. It is a commitment to get through that much television.
Yeah,
I mean, Paradise is still going. That's an interesting series if you need something to watch, which is about, you know, humanity collapses and they go into basically an under the dome situation and how humanity is going. It's fine. Severance is still going. Are we enjoying Severance still?
Yes.
Loving Severance.
Exactly. 1923 season 2 is out, so if anyone needs a Harrison Ford cowboy hit, you can watch that. Oh, shut up. It's good. I don't care what you have to say.
I don't care.
An Invincible season.
Question mark. Dot, dot, dot.
Three? Three. Season 3.
I realized I hadn't watched 2, and then I tried to start to watch it. I'm like, oh, I don't like this anymore.
Like, I remember loving the first season, and then I...
Same. And then I tried to watch a second one. I'm like, oh, actually, I don't think I like it anymore.
Funny, isn't it?
It just feels a bit same-same.
Like how your taste suddenly switches or whatever. Anyway.
Cool. All right, well, when are we coming back next? It's on the
Wednesday,
the 5th of March.
Right.
Wednesday, the 5th of March. And then we'll be back. So let us know.
Yeah.
Send us a message. Put it in the chat. Join one of the spoiler groups. Message us on Facebook. Send us a carrier pigeon. Shoot it into the sky and hope we read it finally.
Yes. So many things that you could do to communicate with us, and most of them will even get.
Awesome. All right. Quinny, is there anyone that we're particularly going to go and raid, or are we finished for the evening?
Let's go and have a look. Let's see who's around.
Anyone around?
Is Barger about? No, Barger's not around. Jordan, maybe?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just go. That's okay. We can do that too.
No, there's nobody that I know that we can raid nice and easily. So, you know what? Just go and have a nice night.
Just go and have a night. Go and have a nice Advil and a sleep. There we go. Cup of tea and an early night. All right, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Because you're gorgeous.
Listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.